Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. That's great. That makes all of this worth it. Here we go. This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro, and here you are asking. How dare you? Okay, this episode is with the unbelievably talented comedian Sarah Cooper. Oh my gosh, she is the funniest person I've stumbled upon in life in quite some time. And I was very excited to have her. She's here. If you haven't seen her videos, watch them. And man, this is going to be good. Let's get started. I have to say, your comedy has very much excited me to the point I showered for this Zoom.
What?
You know how, have you ever been excited for something and you didn't know how to express it? So, Sarah, I'm not kidding. I cut my hair today.
No, you didn't.
Sarah, do not challenge me on this. I am not telling you false information. I really did try to get ready for this in a way that makes no sense. I'm so excited.
I feel so bad. I haven't showered in a week. I feel like maybe
I don't need anything from you except you. I'm so happy that you're here. And I know I'm not the only person excited about you. I mean, you've clearly blown up so gigantically from your Trump impressions. Do you want to describe what it is that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I basically just lip sync Trump sound bites, and I basically take his improv, his bullshit, and I turn it into a little film, a little sketch. I try to like make sense out of it and tell a little story. And people are like telling me, you know, I hate the sound of his voice. I never listen to it, but this is the only way I can listen to his voice is when I see your face and his voice is coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing because I don't do anything to the soundbite. It's the exact soundbite that you would hear on any news channel. Uh-huh. But for some reason, people are like, this is the only way I can listen to Trump. And I feel kind of bad. I've made people listen to Trump a lot more than they probably wanted to. But it's very funny because I'm, you know, I'm pointing out how clueless he is. And people find that very cathartic. And I find it very cathartic as well.
I mean, did you feel like even before you posted this or did it, were you thinking, are people going to get this? Is this, I mean, what, you, or were you like, oh, yeah, of course I'm now on Ellen and of course, millions of people.
No. I mean, I posted a few, you know, you know how it is. You like try something. You're like, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? That's what's in my head when
I've never felt that way, Sarah. I have never felt like anything I've done is dumb. How dare you even suggest such a thing? But go on and tell me how you feel.
Okay, well, I feel like everything I do is stupid. And then I have this voice in my head like this is a waste of time. And I'm making these videos. And I posted a few and people thought it was kind of funny and interesting and cool, but they didn't go viral.
Right.
So, yeah. And then when he did the whole, like, you know, bringing ultraviolet light under the skin and injecting Lysol into your veins.
And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way.
I was like, well, I have to do this one. I'd almost given it up at that point.
Right. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute.
But then he did this. He said these things, and I had to make a video out of it. And that's when it really blew up.
Sarah Cooper, thank you so much for being on The Tonight Show. I'm a big fan, and man, you're making me laugh.
Millions of people have been watching our first guest's hilarious take on the president's press briefings.
The Sarah Cooper's Trump lip sync video that rocketed her to Twitter fame.
I am so into the level of nonsense that you're bringing to what he's spewing from his
mouth. It's bizarre. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre seeing his voice or hearing his voice coming out of my mouth, but it somehow it works. It's the weird. It's absurd. Yeah, I agree.
Yes. And have you heard from people in his world of...
Dude, can I just tell you, knock on wood, I have gotten very little hate mail. I've only been called a twice.
You mean just in your life?
No. Well, I mean, in my life, maybe four times, but in the span of the past 2 months, only twice. And I felt like there was going to be this huge right wing, you know, campaign against me. That's what I thought was going to happen. And it hasn't happened. Knock on wood again. It hasn't happened. And I even have some Trump supporters that are like, oh, these are really funny. I love Trump, but this is a hoot.
Well, yeah, I feel like what you're doing isn't... It's not vicious. And that's what is so refreshing, because he's doing everything himself. You're just slipping out of a chair.
Listen, I'm going to give myself some credit. I think I do make him look pretty stupid. I try as hard as I can, because that's my that's my intention. That's my motivation as an actor in these pieces, is to show everyone how incompetent he is. And I feel like it works. And I feel like maybe they know it works, and that's why they're not bringing attention to it. I think that's what's happening.
Okay, Sarah Cooper.
Yes.
You left a day job to do this, to do comedy. I mean, you left a good job at Google. Do you have any advice for people thinking about quitting their day job?
Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. My mom always said this: if you want something done, give it to somebody who's really busy. And I never appreciated that until I left my job. And I was like, oh, I don't have a job now. I can do all of these things. And I swear, for 6 months, I did nothing. Get as much done as you can while you still have that job. Because especially if you're doing something creative, it's really hard to be creative if you are pressed for money or health insurance or any of those pressures. It's really hard to be creative. So try to do as much as you can while you still have a job, and then create some foundation for yourself before you leave, would be my advice.
Wow. Level-headed, mm-hmm. reasonable, uh-huh. smart.
Yep, not racist.
Those are all things people use to describe me. Now, Sarah, what does your mother think of leaving Google and making these Trump videos?
My parents are a lot like Hollywood, I'm learning. You know how Hollywood, like, they don't like you until they see other people like you?
Yes, yes.
I think my parents were like, bad idea. And then I have some success now. And they're like, oh, we knew it. We knew you were going to be great. We knew this was going to happen for you. You're brilliant. You always have been. But 6 years ago, they were like, you're crazy.
When you say you've had some success, do you mean you picked out a mansion and moved in?
Oh, no, I haven't done that yet. But I have been on Lawrence O'Donnell. And I have been retweeted by Rachel Maddow. And that's all my parents care about. So...
Well, I don't mean to make this a competition, but I've also been on Lawrence O'Donnell now.
Yeah, he actually mentioned you to me. He said he didn't enjoy that interview that much, but he said he enjoyed interviewing me a lot more than Tig Notaro. That's what he said.
Sarah Cooper, how dare you?
I'm just trying to keep it real, man.
I know, dude. So, Sarah, let's get the show started with a segment devoted to our toughest questions that I'm calling Beer Boy.
Who boy?
Beer Boy.
Who boy? I like it.
All right. Question one, Sarah. The letter B. That's all this person gave us. B writes, my husband and I are both agnostic, and lately our 4-year-old has been asking questions about where we go when we die. How do I explain that nobody really knows without scaring the shit out of her? Do you have kids, Sarah?
No, I don't have kids.
Well, see, my wife and I took our, at the time they were 3-year-olds, to see The Lion King. And I had never seen The Lion King. And our son Finn wandered off and Stephanie followed him. And I was stuck there just with Max. And Simba's father was knocked off the mountain and died. Mm-hmm. And Max said, where did Simba's dad go? We had never talked about death. And when my sons fall over and hurt themselves at the house, I always say, oh, you kerplunked. And so that's all I said was I turned to Max and I said, oh, his dad kerplunked. And so maybe that's something to bring up to kids.
There's nothing there. Nope. You never, kerplunking?
Sarah.
Tig?
Sarah. No. Sarah. No. I will have this fight with you. Okay. How about this?
Okay.
A 4-year-old asks, what happens
mm-hmm.
when you die? Where do you mm-hmm. go? This seems more Sarah Cooper style. All right, kid. You either end up in a hole in the ground, or you're burned and placed in an urn on the mantle.
Oh, gosh. Tig, no. No.
Sarah.
Listen, let me explain this to you, okay?
Okay.
I'm right. also agnostic. And
okay.
here's the thing. When you die, it's not like you die and you think to yourself, oh, remember when I was alive? When you're dead, that's a new state that has no relationship to the current state that we're in. So these two states have no relationship to each other. So when you're dead, it's the same as being alive. There's no difference because we have no concept of it. So that's what I would tell the kid. When you die, you're the same. Nothing changes. Because really, when you're dead, you will feel like nothing has changed. You're in a new state.
Sarah?
Yes.
I love that answer. So you're saying don't tell a 4-year-old you're going to end up in a hole in the ground or burned and put in an urn on
No, that's what happens to the people who are living as they watch you. That's not what happens to you. You have no awareness of any of that.
You know what happens is your heart stops.
Oh, God. Kerplunk.
Oh, boy. We'll tackle our next question sent from a guilty vegan after the break.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science passes. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
Welcome back, listeners. As you know, I'm answering your very pressing questions today with comedian Sarah Cooper. Sarah?
Yes.
Are you ready for the next one?
I am not, but let's go ahead anyway.
Well, we can take a minute and if you want to get up and stretch your legs or make a phone call, you know, we don't want to rush anyone.
I'm ready. I can do it.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, Kelly writes, I became a vegan last year and have adjusted fairly well. I have found that I am tortured watching others eat pepperoni pizza, so much so that I occasionally have a piece. How much guilt should I feel? Your thoughts? I'm vegan, Sarah.
Oh, boy.
How dare you? I am a very proud, hardcore vegan. Our whole family is, except the cat. And here's my feeling about it. you have to figure out where you're coming from with veganism, because it has to be rooted in something that is really going to firmly place your feet in that world, and nothing would tempt you. After I learned about the way food was made and harmful effects on the environment and health and all of that, people will eat burgers or pepperoni pizza, whatever it is in front of me, a milkshake, and say, I'm sorry, is this hard to watch? And I don't miss it. I feel so lucky that I am not ingesting that food. So I would say maybe look at why you became vegan, Kelly.
Damn.
And what?
That's harsh. That's harsh, man.
Is that harsh?
I mean, you're questioning her identity. I mean, you're basically saying, I don't think you're a real vegan. I don't think your reasons, you're basically doing the bachelor thing. Like, you're not here for the right reasons. Like, that's what you're telling her.
Sarah Cooper, I am saying that it's one of those things that when you see something a particular way, you can't unsee it.
Right.
And so it shouldn't tempt you, but if it does tempt you, I also have compassion. Mm-hmm. And I
sure, here comes also, the compassion.
I also am all for people making steps and strides into becoming more plant-based and vegan and doing the Meatless Monday, because I do feel like if we do not take care of the planet, there's not going to be any room for making fun of a president or explaining to children what happens when you die.
Right.
The number one thing should be the planet. And that's one of the things that can help. And I'm off track. She asked about pepperoni.
No. I thought that that was very inspiring. I'm just going to give the alternate, like, non-inspiring response, which is she is getting jealous of her friends eating pizza, pepperoni pizza around her. Okay. So first of all, you're vegan and you have friends. That's great. Doesn't happen to a lot of vegans. So congratulations.
Oh, gosh.
So that's good. But what you're doing, this pizza's already there. What you're doing is you're actually taking meat out of their mouths. So you're actually doing a service, because that means they're eating less meat because of you. So I say, you know, one slice of pepperoni pizza, you know, it might actually be helping your friends become vegan. Who knows?
Sarah.
Hoo boy.
I'm gonna even add, look at what made you vegan in the first place and try and get in touch with where that's coming from. Because
subtext, Tig is a better vegan than you are.
Sarah, I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to have to say that as
we all heard it. We all heard it. No problem.
But I'm also following it up with any step in that direction is so helpful. And I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but there's also online a vegan calculator where you can put in how many days or years that you've been vegan, and it'll show you how much water you've saved, how many animals you've saved. It can make you feel like, as an individual, you're actually making a difference.
I like that.
But, well, finally, you're happy with something. Let's move on to the next question.
Let's do it.
Our next question is what we like to call a corona conundrum.
Are you at all concerned about the coronavirus?
No, not really.
We know that mandatory masking works.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask.
You must not leave the house for any reason. Unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house.
Okay. Connie writes, when I'm grocery shopping, I come across people in the store who refuse to wear a mask or who wear it around their neck, where it does absolutely nothing. Some unmasked people even creep up too close for comfort when I'm in line. I want to protect myself, but I don't want to instigate some angry person into a tirade that goes viral. what is the polite way to address these situations? Connie, here's the thing, is I feel like if you are in this situation where you feel like your health is at risk, you should take all the precautions. And that means wearing goggles or a shield and doubling up on your mask and gloves if you want them, and don't rely on the buffoonery that you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
And you agree, Sarah?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, I thought about this question and I hate confrontation. Connie sounds like she doesn't like confrontation either. And so, you know, my husband loves confrontation. He yells at people to put their mask on all the time. And, you know, he's fine with it. But me, I would just avoid that person. I would just kind of like make sure I'm more than 6 feet away from them, get a mask.
Well, she's saying they creep up.
Yeah, that's the thing that's weird. The creeping up behind. I mean, who does that?
Ugh. Well, creeps yeah. do, Sarah. And if she's really out at the grocery store and people are creeping up all around, you gotta have either your groceries delivered or go in there fully ready for the creeping.
Yeah, I guess I don't go into grocery stores because I usually have my my maid do that for me. So it is tough.
You have your maid.
Yeah, I have my day maid do that for me, and then my night maid will sometimes just make dinner.
You're not telling the truth, Sarah.
What?
You have not. You're not telling the truth.
All right. I don't have a night maid.
This is not the dynamic I thought we would have.
Did we
is
answer?
Is this what you thought?
No, I didn't, but I'm enjoying it. But did we answer the question?
How do you deal with these COVID-19 creeps that are coming up over your shoulder at the grocery store? And I say, you got to take care of yourself.
So just wear a lot of extra layers?
Yeah, get a shield, get goggles, put two masks on, put gloves on. And you know what? If there is some weirdo that's creeping up, have a jacket over a t-shirt that says, I'm contagious, and then turn to them, open your jacket, and don't walk through the grocery store wearing an I'm contagious shirt. But if there's some weirdo, maybe flash.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I am.
Good. Open up your jacket and flash your I'm contagious t-shirt. Oh, my God. I've never heard worse advice in my life.
I'm trying to have different options. I don't know if she has access to goggles or gloves or anything like that. Maybe all she has is a shirt that says I'm contagious.
So you don't recommend confrontation in any way. You don't recommend her turning to the person behind her and saying, excuse me, could you back up?
I don't think that the world right now is, I don't think people are capable of such an interaction. If somebody is coming up, creeping over your shoulder, and they don't have a mask on,
ugh.
And you're going to, I don't think if you turn and say,
nothing
pardon
you
me,
say. Yeah.
back up, or I'm contagious, nothing's going to, you're not saying what you're contagious with. You're just saying I'm contagious. It could be my laughter, my sense of humor, you know?
Well, not yours, but yeah, maybe Connie's. Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I cut my hair and took a shower for this. I feel like do you think I'm kidding that I cut my hair and took a shower?
No, I believe you. I believe you 100%.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you expected this sort of,
Everybody, this is how I get treated now.
All right. Well, I really am hoping that Connie takes something away from again, this show is called Don't Ask Tig. What did Connie do?
She asked.
So our next question is from Kevin, who's struggling at the intersection of grooming and politics. Kevin writes, is it possible for a white guy in his late 30s with nothing but love in his heart for all people, to buzz cut his hair but not give off a white supremacist vibe in today's climate. Maybe don't do the buzz cut. Maybe, and if you do do a buzz cut, maybe give yourself grow some pigtails.
Yeah.
That's not somebody that's going to try and hurt somebody.
I say that you, if you have love in your heart, then you shouldn't let how your appearance comes across, you know, challenge that, basically.
I agree. If you have love in your heart, then, you know, there, it doesn't matter what your haircut looks like. Kevin, that's all the advice we've got today, and not all of our advice is good advice. And Sarah Cooper, before you head out, can I just ask, what do you think is the worst advice that you've ever gotten?
I really wanted to be an actress in high school, and I had someone tell me that I wouldn't be able to be an actress unless I lost weight. And it really gave me a complex about it. And it was the dumbest, worst advice. And it really discouraged me a lot. And so I feel like that was terrible advice and a horrible thing to say. And you shouldn't say that to kids.
That is rough.
If children have dreams, don't stamp on them. Don't stomp on them. Whatever the word is. Don't snuff them out.
That's not all right. Well, I'm sorry that somebody gave you that advice.
Me too.
Now, listeners, I want to hear your bad advice, too. The absolute worst advice you've ever gotten in your life. Send me a voice memo. Tell me the worst advice you've ever gotten. And maybe we'll do a Hall of Fame. A worst advice Hall of Fame. Go to don'asktig.org and send it from there. Sarah, as I've told you, don't go changing.
Thank you.
I don't want you to go change in one bit. I think you're tremendous. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will hopefully see you at the pizza party, the vegan pizza party.
I can't wait.
You'll have to.
A long time.
I'm going to ask that people send in more questions if they want. If they feel like any of this has been helpful, go to don'asktig.org to send your questions. Ask away. I wish that I could give you the answer. I wish that I could make you believe. I wish that I could put you on your path and set you free. That's what your heart. Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D., engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani, digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend in Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham, and Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. You can always ask for advice at don'asktig.org. Just write in with your problem or send us a voice memo. You can also follow us on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Don't Ask Tig. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. That's what your heart is for. That's what your heart is for. That's what your heart is for. Listen to your heart.
all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.